بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When i'tikaf should take place in Sahalanpur, where the Shaykh Rahmatullah, and there used to be ulama, great great mashayikh, great great specialist in hadith, etc. And Allah Ta'ala had given me the opportunity that 2 years I had spent one ashra, kamobish, I had spent some time there. So the system there was that there used to be talks given by the various ulama kiram, but towards the end there was one thing common. The common thing towards the end was that Shaykh Rahmatullah used to insist that there must be some discussion on takabbur. And he would say himself that yun to Allah Ta'ala bare se bare gunah ko maaf farma dete hain, لیکن تکبر کی وہاں پر قطعاً کوئی گنجائش نہیں. Approximately, so to say, Allah Ta'ala will forgive the greatest of sins, but in the divine court of Allah Ta'ala, pride and arrogance really has got no place at all. So many a times it happens that after some achievement, then our nazar, our sight focuses on ourselves. See, in the Jamaat, in Tabligh Jamaat also they say, غیراللہ کے اوپر سے یقین اور خدا کے اوپر یقین لانا. To turn the sight from غیراللہ, from everything besides Allah Ta'ala, and bring it to Allah Ta'ala. But in the process, what we don't understand, that you also are ghairullah. Like everything else is ghairullah. And I, ego, myself, that is also ghairullah. So when we look at the halat and conditions nowadays, and some of the reasons why we don't get that type of results like people used to get before, one important thing is that ego. In Sheikh's place, there was one person who used to come. After Asr, he used to sit in Muraqabah. And in that Muraqabah, he would see Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is coming and seeing that the iftar is done well, etc. All the arrangements are done correctly. But then, the takabbur had the better over him. He began to think great of himself, that I am seeing things and I am witnessing things, whatever. So they say that ye gire aise gire ke uske liye utna mushkil ho gaya. When he fell so hard that for him to get up after that became very, very impossible, very difficult. So this nazar, the sight, when we say it must be turned away, shifted away from ghairullah, it means everything besides Allah Ta'ala. Everything, ghairullah. Anything and everything, be it Zaid, Amr, Bakr, be it technology and progress, and be investments and might and power of people, be it whatever, and be it yourself, your nazar must be turned away completely. Okay. So this nazar being turned away, this is like the criteria. This is the gauge. This is the whole benchmark. You've got that. The more you've got your nazar turned away from ghairullah, the more progress you're making. In the 10th sipara, Allah Ta'ala spells this out. That in many occasions we had helped you out. We had helped you out many, many occasions. In Badr we helped you out, in Uhud we had helped you out, in Khandaq we had helped you out, in Fatah Makkah we had helped you out. But in Hunayn, أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثَرَتُكُمْ, then your multitudes began to seem too attractive to you. You felt, we've got such multitudes, and we'll just march over these people. We've got these multitudes, and we've got so much, we'll just march over. And then it's a thing to think about, what were they short of? They had Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in them. They had the Sahaba Kiram in them. But for some period, they had to go through some difficulty and some defeat. Though Allah Ta'ala granted them the mastery over the situation eventually, but for that period, they had to go through that difficulty. So this ujb, self-gratification, self-admiration. But when you say ujb, it's about self-admiration. So this, and this comes out in different ways, different ways. One will want to speak about himself, speak about his greatness, speak about his achievements, speak about himself. But he'll want to do it, and he'll want to do it in different ways. It doesn't have to be in one straightforward way. Sometimes, under the pretexts of tawazu, of humility also it comes out. Outwardly it seems that the man is very humble. Main kuch nahi, haqeer, faqeer. I'm very, very humble. Nothing. Were to be your, the sand of your shoes, etc. So these words are said. But these words are just some words that we have heard. Here, there, we have just heard those words. And we are just making naqal of those words. It's just an imitation of those words. When I say it's an imitation of those words, because your life, your lifestyle and your behavior betrays you. So if you felt yourself to be haqeer, faqeer, nothing, total insignificant, so if people had totally disregarded you, given you no recognition, right, then you would have taken it very, very well. MashaAllah, hey, lucky this haqeer faqeer got left out. Because I am haqeer faqeer. And now they have realized that I am haqeer faqeer, at least they have left me out. Before they were in the dark, now they have got it right. Or for example, if there is a gathering and I call out, haqeer faqeer, come here. Okay? Now, if there is, your face doesn't blush, there's no redness on your face, then he's really haqeer faqeer. He's really what he says. But if it is that the face begins to blush out, there's a redness, then there is those statements of yours are betraying you. Say, no, I'm an alim. Where am I an alim? I'm not a mulana. I'm the jahil of the first order, right? So, for example, there is an istima or something, and they are writing out two lists of ulama and ghair ulama, ulama and non-ulama. So if your name was listed in the non-ulama, would you be happy about it? All jahils one side, ulama one side. So the fahrist is written amongst the jahils. Would you be pleased with it? No. So this is a very fine line. It's a fine line. And people just take these words, they say these words, they repeat these words, but they don't know what they're alluding towards. So the better thing is you use these words, provided you feel yourself at that level. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. He used to change his clothes every day, new pair of clothes, new pair of clothing, shoes, everything new, absolutely new. And one day, just to eliminate the doubts amongst people, he says, I am changing my clothes every day because The one that has gifted these clothes, this is what he instructs. That I must wear the clothes and give it out in sadaqah. Like it was done for Imam Malik ibn Anas, Amiru Dar al-Hijra. It was his way that every day he would change the clothes, and the clothes that he's worn yesterday is given out in charity. The one that is given, so he's made that instruction, he must do this. So just to please them, they wear the clothing and the following day they give it out in charity. So he says that people may think that I think too much of myself when I'm changing my clothes daily like this. But by Allah, I find myself in that state that if I were made to wear second cloth, you know, that's very coarse, like how you, before you used to say, Mapondo used to wear that blanket and all that. Some of you may have seen the farm, Mapondo's wear those blankets. So if I were made to make that type of clothing, and I had a basket full of dung on my head, and I had to walk right through Chandni Chowk, the busiest street of Delhi, where everybody recognizes me and identifies me, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I won't find any difference between this condition and that condition. Absolutely no change. I will find myself to be identical in both. Let's digress a little bit. We'll come back inshallah to the same topic. In the time perhaps of the Mughals or before the Mughals, whatever time it was. So in every zamana, Allah Ta'ala blesses this ummah with people, man yujaddidu laha deenaha, revivalists. People will revive. They will speak and they will say things as they were. They will pull no punctures. They won't be afraid of saying it as they're supposed to be saying it. So you'll have these people. This category of people is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusive to this ummah. So that there may not be any distortions in this deen. Otherwise, if people just keep quiet and they don't revive, then this whole deen will be distorted. It will change, it will take a different shape just now. Like Christianity, the whole mold of the Christianity has changed. Where wine is haram, so wine becomes a holy drink in the service. You must have that wine for the service to go. Where to cast lustful glances at woman is haram, but the pastor will listen to her, will embrace her, etc. And she'll feel blessed because the pastor has embraced her. So every haram and any haram will find a place in this type of religions because they don't have the divine protection. Though in their zamana they were divine and they had divine protection, but Allah Ta'ala did not give them divine protection beyond the era. So everything was lost, everything was distorted. So here in this zamana, the king used to come and lead the Eid namaz. And the king, they were very free types of people, free-minded. They felt that there's no authority over them. And he would delay the Eid namaz, would not come on time. Like how we have it, just after Ishraq, we'll have the Eid namaz, right? About 7, quarter past 7, everybody will be having that Eid namaz. Now he's pulling in at about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. So one person came in from the Saharanpur area, Muzaffar Saharanpur area, they call it Doaba. This place is known from that zamana, at least about 400-500 years. It's known that it produced a lot of great ulama, a lot of events took place in this place here, between Saharanpur and Muzaffarnagar, they call it Doaba. So great ulama, Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi and whoever you know, all are produced in this area here. Allah Pak has blessed it. So one person came from here and he was in Delhi at the Eidgah where the king was supposed to come and lead the Eid namaz. So he announces, whoever has to read the king's namaz, then he can wait for the king. And whoever has to read Allah Ta'ala's namaz, he can join me. And then hundreds of people just followed him. They read the Eid namaz. Everything was done, finished. So you get that class of people that would like to incite, you know, spur up, incite, cause problems. That class you must have. You can't rule it off. So someone went and reported this to the king. Okay, this person here, yeah, he talks too much of himself. See what he did? And he talks too much of the sunnah. So put him in his place. So anyway, the king summoned him. So in India and these countries, up till now, to make someone ride upon a donkey is like to disgrace him. When you want to dishonor and debase someone, you want to penalize him, so you will mount him on an ass and parade him. So the king tells him, you see, Rasulullah also mounted an ass, you see. So that means mounting an ass is a sunnah. So I've got an ass here. So therefore, you claim to be committed to the sunnah. If you are committed, then you need to mount this and we'll parade you around the town, you see. So he's the king's intention, we know, all know. He wants to humiliate him. But you see the unwan that is used. What unwan is used. So he turns around and tells the king, what you're saying is absolutely true, 100%. But you see, nowadays, when a person is mounted onto an ass and paraded around the street, around the town, then this is to disgrace him, to show that he is a criminal, right? And Islam teaches us that we must save ourselves from areas of suspicion. اِتَّقُوا مَوَابْدِ أَتُّهُمْ Right? Islam teaches us must move away from places of suspicion. So, to overcome this hurdle, what we will do, you call for two donkeys. You mount on one, and I will mount on one. And two of us will go right around the town. See? So, what we're getting at is, this hurdle of pride, ostentation, show, and this aspect of arrogance. I want to be something. I want to be something, recognition. Now, this may seem to be a very simple thing, but the awliya also say that آخِرُ مَا يَخْرُجُ عَنْ قُلُوبِ الصِّدِّيقِينَ حُبُّ الْجَاهِ That the last thing that comes out of the heart is this recognition. We think that this is a casual thing, small thing, no, we don't have it. But they say that's the last thing to leave the heart. So don't at all think at any time that I don't have any remnant of that arrogance, of that pride, that recognition. These people at all times, they used to just smash down. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, he is seated in a company of Maulana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh and Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Now the Shaykh is well known at the time, everybody knows him, his kitab is flourishing throughout India, Pakistan at that time because it was undivided. And for some simple reason, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh reprimands Hazrat Shaykh Ahmed, severely reprimands him, simple, hardly any mistake, not a mistake, but reprimands him, gave it to him. Anyway, that whole sitting ended, finished up. So, Maulana Raipuri told Maulana Ilyas in the quiet, but it wasn't a mistake that you had to reprimand him like this. So, Maulana Ilyas Ramdai's answer was, آخر وہ سمجھے کہ اس کے اوپر بھی کوئی برا ابھی تک ہے. میں ان کا برا چچا ابھی تک ان کے سر کے اوپر ہوں. مستقل نہ بن جائے. He must remember that I'm still around. Someone senior is still above him. He mustn't become independent. That there is nobody over him. He mustn't have that type of mindset. Okay, no, there's nobody over him. Nobody can tell him anything. So you see, as you're growing up and you're progressing, then they smash you down even more. They smash you down even more. Many a times, you ask some of these khalifas of Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad Ali, that when you got Khilafat and how it was. So, the whole scenario used to be like this, that Shaykh will call the person and make like a very cheeky face, very, very cheeky face, and he will shout the person, get out of here, just fold your bedding and move, I don't want to see your face again. I don't want to see you again. Right. But Sheikh has shouted him and shouted him nicely in front of everybody now. He shouted him, "You're good for nothing. It's wasting time. You're occupying, you're just like a furniture here." Now, he wants to see now what's the response. What's the response of this person? Is there that tawazu in him? Is there that fana'iyat in him? Or is he thinking too much of himself? He's doing zikr, seeing dreams and all that. And he's thinking too much of himself. So, when he sees that the response is favorable, then towards the end, then he'll call him, embrace him nicely, and then say, alright, you got ijazat now. From one extreme to the other extreme, making him a khalifa, but he tested him out nicely also. Properly tested him out, that metal is right or not. Is there any quote in here? Is there anything that is alloy here? It's alloy or is it genuine? When he saw it was genuine, then he would confer the khilafat. And before he can prove that it is genuine, then he wouldn't just give ijaz like that. Because now you're going to represent, you're going to be talking about, you're going to be representing Hazrat Shaykh or any other buzurg. So is that metal made in you or not? Or is it just words that you have learned? See, what is, you have learned words, and you're repeating words. Like, you know, someone comes and reports to you this person's business is one shop is burning down. He gave you information, right? And one person comes and tells you, my shop is burning, why? My shop is burning. So both, will the statements be the same? Their feelings, their expressions, will it be the same? This man is going through it, he's seeing now, his heart sweat, millions of rands he's put into this business and it's going down, getting gutted completely. And that person is just passing on information, he's got no feelings. So this must become like the hal, you see. It must become your mental state, your physical state, that you are nothing. Really, you aren't anything. Now you look at this Buzurgan Adin, from Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah, right down, everyone, the seniors trained them in that way. Now, to apply that standard, we find it difficult. We have to say the people now, Jazakallah for coming and all that. That's how the standards have gone right down, depreciated. Jazakallah, you know, you did me a favor, you came. Okay. So the standards have gone down, completely down. It's not like what it used to be then. It's like what, you know, one person, he came as a mehman. So as he's leaving, so the guest tells the host, you know, you must appreciate me, you know. So now the host is a little shocked up. He just thinks for a moment, yeah, no, you know, I am thankful to you because entertaining a guest is a sunnat and you have allowed me that opportunity. So I got the sawab, so I'm thankful to you. So now for some other reason also, you must be thankful to me. He thought again, said, now, yeah, you know, at least I was good to my Muslim brother. At least I afforded him some sanctuary, some home, whatever else. So for these 2-3 days that he was around, so I offered him some nice type of a home, etc. So no, for some other reason also you must be thankful to me. So I said, no, now I don't know. Because all the reasons that could be in my mind, you know, I have given all the reasons. So no, by what's the reason then? He says, you know, I was here at your place for 3 days. I had a box of matches in my pocket, I could have set your whole house alight. You know, jazakallah. You did me a great favor, bhai. Bahut badi meharbani tumhari. Tumhari bahut zyada, bahut behrmani hai tumhari. I'm very thankful to you. So you see, the standards have all gone down, very, very much depreciated. Very much depreciated. So the reason when I analyze the whole situation, the reason for this is that this ana, this ego has come too much. We are too bloated, the mind is bloated. Everything has gone too much. So we can't hear true words from anybody. Even if it's our fathers, our mothers, anybody elder, they have to shout us or they tell us anything. We can't. We can't just hear it. No. Who are, why, who's, what's given the business? What gives him the right to tell me these things here? He's got no right to sit telling me this. He's not my sheikh. He's not my elder. Why must he tell me this thing here? I'm taking care of him. So why must he tell me? So our minds and our nafs has become so bloated that one word we can't tolerate. One word. It must be just, all the time, must just treat the person with cotton wool gloves, you know, cotton gloves, all the time. Shabash, shabash, mafusna, beta shabash, all the time. So now, when is that Islah going to take place? That Islah can only take place, they say that, to the proportion you have got that fana'iyat. You think yourself nothing. Really, you think nothing of yourself. The more you think nothing of yourself, the more you see things are just working out. You're just going up. But this needs to be, as you are going up and you're progressing, this needs to be broken down. The more you are going up, the more it needs to be broken down. The more you're going up, the more it needs to be broken down. All the time, just broken down all the time. It needs to be broken down. And when you're broken down, then you see, أَنَا إِنْدَ مُنْكَسَرَتِ الْقُلُوبِ. Allah Pak says, the one whose heart is broken down. In other words, he's lost hope in everything. He's lost hope in everything. Everything. In people, in things, in property, everything is lost hope. The only hope is Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Pak says that I am closest to that person. أَنَا إِنْدَ مُنْكَسَرَتِ الْقُلُوبِ. I am closest to that person. Because his heart is nowhere now. He's not stuck up here, not stuck up there. He doesn't have that self-conceit, self-admiration. He doesn't have these things here. If there is his nazar, then his nazar is only Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I got no other sanctuary. Allah Ta'ala, I got no security. I got no refuge. I got no place to move. I got no place to go to. So if I got any place, it's you. So they will watch you all the time. If you make the statements, then they will compare your statements against your life, against your behavior. You make the statement, and what's your behavior like? You made the statement, what's your behavior like? It's not that that statement just comes up and they take it for granted. No, the statement and your behavior, they must be tying up. If they're tying up, then they say, no, this is a full package. This package is full. This equation is right. But otherwise, if there's a statement and there is no parallel behavior with it, there's no parallel suitable behavior with it, then say, no, it's just words. Is this words only? Empty slogans, empty words. So, our Akabir, they stressed a lot in this, on this. Because they've seen, imagine Khaja Sahib, like Khaja Sahib, he's amongst the closest of the Khalifas of Hazrat Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, closest of Khalifas. But one day he spoke a little bit more than he was supposed to speak. But he's the closest ranking, closest, and he's very, circular wise also, he's very, very educated. In that zamana, very few people you get that are educated circular-wise like that, you know. So in that respect also, he's a professional person. In deen also, he's a professional person and senior ranking. Small little mistake, as it tells him, right, bistar bankar ke nikal jao, go, get out of the khanka. Just fold your bistar and move it. And he moves out, but look at the man's sincerity. He's there on the pavement and he writes a poetry. He was a good Greek poet also. He writes a poetry. The essence of the poetry is, he says, the khanqah is your kingdom, you see. Your kingdom, the parameters of your kingdom is the khanqah. Beyond that is my kingdom. The pavement is my kingdom. Hukumat apni apni. That's your hukumat. You can rule over there. And this is my hukumat, I am here. Hazrat was obviously amused. He felt nice about the man. The man didn't get insulted. He didn't get insulted. So this was that Isra that used to take place. The man is grounded. He's fixed nicely. He gets, you know, we take it so personal. Sheikh, if he tells us to do something else, you know, some work and all, we'll do it. All right. But if that one word is told to you, the whole night you can't sleep. But why did he tell me this? What did I do wrong? What will happen now? What went wrong now? Our relationship is broken down. It's severed now. How will it ever be joined up again? But in this type of reprimanding and all that, this correction, sometimes what happens, that the whole process is expedited. What you could have achieved in 5 years, sometimes you'll achieve in one day. Because you smash down, and you smash down, are you going to be totally broken? When you're going to be totally broken, then he's going to embrace you. Then you have really gone. You've gone very fast, very, very fast. So they want this to happen. You see, they want this to happen. But now, there isn't that potential. Now, if the Shaykh tells you in advance, you know, today I'm going to test you, I'm going to see you, kutta and gada and all that, and you say, all right, right, the deal is on. So that's a show business, that's a drama, that it's an act, it's a play, that it's not real. Real is where off the cuff, you're serving tea and all, everything coming, say 8 times, the whole thing, there's a lot of action and gada kahika. I just stood and shouted at the person like that. Now you to see now what's going to be the response at that time. That's the real test. But if everything is told in advance, then that's an act. It's a drama, it's a play that you're just acting it out. See? So, and I say that this wasn't something unique to our Buzuganadin from the past. They should do this. Because they made out that this was the essence, that fana'iyat. See, this fana'iyat. One person came to become murid to the Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullahi. Now he's a big boss, big wealthy person. You know, you get these big wealthy people now. Right? You get milkshake, you get oil shake, all shakes you get, you see. It's all type of shakes. Now you get one of these big, extra wealthy people. Right? He came and he wants to take beer. Mu'tami told him, all right, I am here on this particular day and we will do the bi'at there, you see. Now, he's a nawab, he's a, that wealthy class. So, he had a couple of khadims and all that. And trays of mitai and all that. So, he's doing it nawab style. Because the bi'at is going to be like a big, big occasion. So, after the bi'at, then he'll distribute all mitais, nawab style, you see. He has to do it in the corners to his name now. Or he's such a great person now, and he's taking bi'at and no action there. Then it doesn't go in accordance to his standard, you see. So he got his khadims and all that, and mitai over his head, nawab style, he pulled into the house. Hazrat, bayat karne ke liye aaya hu, I've come, you promised me. So Hazrat made out, now he sized him up nicely. So he says, hey, you know what, I just slipped up. I have to go to that other street, you know. I've got some important work there as well. Now the khadims left the mitai, everything, and they went away, right? He's there alone with the mitai, waiting to be initiated into bayat. So now, no other choice but take all the 3-4 trays, big trays, the two khadims taken on his head. And Hazrat now deliberately took him through the streets that everybody knows a Nawab Sahib. Oh, Nawab Sahib, kaise tabiyat? Everybody, big Sahib, and the Nawab Sahib got the big, big trays over his head as walking. Imagine if one of us was like that, Jumma time, you got 2 trays of mitai on your head. How you would feel. But now it's to put him through his paces now. Got him to that second street. Everybody knows him there. And at the moment, Thayanada says, no. Still a little bit, one more injection I need to give. I need to give another injection as well. So he says, no, I just slipped up. You know, I just thought now, I have to go to the other street. So now all his relatives and all the family, everybody knows him. Here was the street people, everybody knew him. Yeah, his family and everybody that know him. Put him through his paces again. Took him long chakkar and eventually got him there. I said, hey, now I think I'll take him for bayat now. That Nawab Sahib, you should say afterwards, I said, you know, you did this to me. I know you did it deliberately. I know that you did it deliberately. And really, that shaitan that was in me wouldn't have died. But in that 1 hour or 2 hours of gushing, you know, of paroling, alhamdulillah, that shaitan died. That pride in me, that arrogance in me was definitely there. I don't deny it. You're living like that, so you want to have things happening like that. So that would have never died in me. But you took me around, you know, like a merry-go-round, you took me, and you really smashed the thing down out of me. You would have never died. 5 years, 10 years in my life, would have never died. But in that 2 hours, you got it down. So they smash it down, and that smashing down really, it's like an old building. You see, you want to put up, say, a 50-story mansion, right? And you say, no, this old building, I'm going to leave it here, and I'm going to put above this thing here. What's going to happen? That thing's foundation is too weak. As you're going to be putting up, it's going to be dropping off again, right? It's going to be falling off. You're putting up again, and again it's dropping, because it doesn't have the strength. It doesn't have that strength. So the right thing is to demolish it. So no, don't demolish me, please, no, keep me, don't demolish me. What's going to happen to me? You know, I'm antique now. So you either remain antique, or you either take that 40, 50 stories that you want. So you want to escalate. So you need to demolish. The old structures, you'll have to demolish it. The takabur, riya and all that. That you have to smash it down. You have to demolish it. And remember that, you know, sometimes we feel that one time I smashed it down and it smashed for life. No, no. This thing here, you smash it down, it comes up again. You smash it down, it comes up again. It's not that you smashed it and it smashed for life, no. You smashed it down, it comes up again. You need to smash it down again. You smash it for the second time, it comes up again. Again you need to smash it. So you have to break it down all the time. All the time you need to break it down. See, Hazrat Ramta used to say that some of these great awliya kiram, just for the islah, now and then they would go out on a journey, you know, go out in a journey, traveling up by bus, train, here, there, wherever else, right? And he says now, so why did they have to do that? He says, in their hometown, they were always Hazrat now. Hazrat, someone is kissing the hand, someone is dumb water, pass the hand over the child's head, make dua for him, this dawat here, that invitation. So you always held in esteem. But as you're going on a safar, sometimes you're a standing passenger, sometimes somebody shouting you, bhai, dekhte nahi. Bade hokar ke kuch dekhte nahi. So old man, you can't even see properly. Someone is shouting you, someone is giving it to you, and all that, you're still steady, you're still smiling, and you're continuing. So what you're doing is you adjusting yourself, moderating, neutralizing the effect. On the one side, they were taking you up to the seven skies, you know, such a big buzruk of the time and all that. And then, when they're putting you through your spaces now, that effect is being neutralized. You don't think much of yourself. You're coming back. Now you come back home, now you understand you're still that same old person. So you don't think now that because of these titles that they're giving you, so you became a real big buzruk now. You're still being crushed down. They were talking of Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Rahmatullahi. So his Khalifa is Ghulam Ali. And you must have heard of Sayyid Mahmud Alusi Rahmatullahi. And you must have heard of Allama Shami Rahmatullahi. So all of them, they're similarized to Ghulam Ali. Because they're Naqshbandiya, and the silsila ends up by Ghulam Ali. Ghulam Ali is the Khalifa of Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So Ghulam Ali was the most senior Khalifa. Although Qazi Sanaullah Panipati also is the Khalifa of Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, but he was one of the most senior Khalifa, Ghulam Ali. So now when they test you out, they test you out very thoroughly. Whether it's Naqshbandiya silsila or Chishtiya silsila, but in this Fanayat, they don't compromise, they give it to you properly. So it's a hot day in Delhi, and this Ghulam Ali is fanning his sheikh. You know, you get the hand fans, you know, so he's fanning his sheikh. So he's fanning it a little bit strong. So the sheikh is saying, tu mujhe urahi dega. You're fanning me so firmly, hey, you will blow me away, man. You will blow me away. Now they use blown away for something else. Someone is picked you up, you know, he got blown away. Yeah? I told him a couple of words, he got blown away. So, he said, you'll blow me away. So then, he reduced the speed. So the sheikh is saying, tera hath mein koi jaan nahi. There's no life in you. So now Ghulam Ali now, he says, na idhar se ban pare, na udhar se ban pare. It's not working out this way, it's not working out that way. She said, what did you say? Right, move out, get out of here. Move out of the khan, get out. Just that one statement, na idhar se ban pare, na udhar se ban pare. You get out, marching orders, you get out. And there is no other choice, so you have to, when they say you move out, you have to move out. I think it was Hazrat Hussain Ahmad Madani Sahib's father-in-law, someone. He came to the Khanqah in Thana Bhawan. So one person got marching orders, banished orders, get out. Take a bedding and move away. Some misdemeanor, some discrepancy. So Mullah's father-in-law, very soft-hearted. So he says, ye kya tarika hai ki bistar band karke nikal jao. Acha tum bhi apne bistar band karke nikal jao. You also take your bistar and move. Tum apni islah ke liye aaye ya meri islah ke liye aaye? You came for your islah, you came for my islah. Whose islah? Make up your mind. So this was one uncompromising thing. One uncompromising. They really try to get this ingrained in you. Ingrained in you. I saw once Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatum, Allah Ta'ala restore his health. There was that Azad Wal Ishtima. And that Mir Sahib is like he's the closest person from all the murid and all that. That's what it would appear. Like Mir Sahib is about the closest person. So Mir Sahib, some small little error he must have made. Now it's a dawat in someone else's home. There's about at least 30, 40 people sitting around. In that dawat now, there's a khare ho jao, kaan pakro. Now Mir Sahib is a big person. He's a graduate, he's a professional person. I think he's a CA or something. And here, for everybody, kaan pakro. I saw, I'm just checking his face, you know. How the man's going to respond? How he's going to respond? There's no remorse, no grief, nothing. And the same smile that he had, he's doing the shakes. Really, it was a sight to see. It was a sight to see that there was absolutely no response on his face. Grief or feeling very hurt or sorrowful, or whatever, no, nothing. So that was about 15, 18 years ago that I saw this. So this is a genuine person. It's a genuine person. He doesn't feel anything about it. And the sheikh felt so easy to just tell him, do it. You know, it's like just pressing a button and the man just stood up, or it was so down. Sent off after that. So this is that quality that we need to try and drain and grain ourselves, bring into ourselves. This tawazu, fana'iyat. And really I'm saying this because of concern. Because this progress can't be made. You can't get that progress. I very often think now our South African context and why can't we make that type of progress. There's two or three things that's deficient in us. One is this aspect here. See, because we're living in a Western country, right? Western country, Western ethos. When it's all Western ethos, it's all about me, my achievements, what I did. That's Western orientation. You know, I did this, I wrote this book here, I'm such and such a person. So, it's all about myself, my achievements, my contributions. People must recognize me, acknowledge me. So, that's Western ethos. And Islamic ethos is you do good, neki kar, or darya mein phenk. Do the good and forget it. You do the good and you forget it. Don't worry about it. Don't talk about it, don't even make a story about it. So that's Islamic ethos. This is the Western ethos. So this is one thing that is severely lacking. We can't hear one word. Ustad must say something, or the Sheikh must say something, or your senior father or mother must say something. Man can't hear it. He can't take it. He can't digest it. He's out of action. Sometimes for the whole life he's out of action. Just one word. I don't say that we must insult, right? But your parents have got a right. Ustad has got a right. The Sheikh has got a right. He is there for your Islah, for your reformation, for your correction. Right. As Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, we hear that incident of Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi. It's a long incident, but I'm just cutting it down. He's sitting with the Sheikh Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi, and they're having meals. So the kebab and all the special dishes are more towards Haji Sahib, and dar or something is by Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. In the meanwhile, Hafiz Zamin Shaheed, that is now Haji Imdadullah Sahib, Peer Bhai. You know, you get Haji Bhai. So you get a Peer Bhai. Two murids of the same Peer, you call them Peer Bhai. So Hafiz Zamin Shaheed was the. So he says, hey, aaj to murid ka to bara moj ho raha hai, ke Peer ke saath bair karke khana ka rahe. It's a very exciting moment, ke today he is privileged to sit with the Sheikh and eat. You could have just passed on those koftas, you know, those specials, chops and whatever else. You could have passed it on this side. So, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he with a little bit of a severe eye, you know, stern eye. He says, ye to ghanimat hai ke mere saath baith karke khana kha raha hai, lekin haq to ye tha ke chamaru ki tarah se roti mein kuch salan de de, unko jao khao. And he began to stare at me. He says, it's a blessing that he's sitting with me and eating from the same dastarkhan. Otherwise, the right thing was, like how this chamars, how they, you know, these people that clean the toilet and all that, they call them chamars. The chamars, if he come, and you just give him a bread, some tarkari, and go eat. That's the way that he had been. That's what he deserved, you know. Otherwise, now it's a blessing that I've seated him on that dastarkhan, and we are eating together. Otherwise, what he deserves is the treatment that he deserves. And Hari Sahib is watching me. Maa Ganganan says, Alhamdulillah, mere dil mein kisi kisam ka taghayyur nahi hua. I didn't find any indifference. And I felt definitely, really it's a blessing that I've got an opportunity to sit with such a great buzurg and have meals from the same dastarkhan. That's how my heart felt. I said, after that, Ali Sahib Rahmatullah didn't test me after that. He didn't try me out. And that's why he said I got left out. Because he didn't test me. He's still anxious that he gets tested out more. Now they looked at it differently. They looked at the whole thing differently. That ego has to be bust down, has to be broken down. See? Allah Ta'ala grant us that tawfiq. And our elders, this is what they try, this is what they aim at. Al-Mawla Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah, he just completed his formal studies in Dabel. So he came out for his 1 year. It must have been in Mu'ayyusul Rahmatullah's time, or Mu'ayyusul Rahmatullah's time, whatever time it may have been. So he came to Nizamuddin station. He came to Nizamuddin Markaz. So as he arrived in the Markaz, they told him, now he's coming all in the heat and sweating and perspiring and all that. So they tell me, go to the station there, and there's one Jamaat that just go and receive them. No welcome, no reception, nothing. The man is coming for 1 year. And that Zamana, you know, there's hardly anybody coming out for 1 year. He's amongst the first people that come out for the first year, for 1 year. So there's no reception, no welcome, nothing. Came in all the heat, and you're dispatched back onto the station, railway station. So he went there, waiting from the morning right till the evening. Maghrib Isha time. Isha time came back, there's no Jamaat. Alright, no, we made a mistake. Next morning, go back. And first he got a little bit furious. What's wrong? What's his business now? No reception, no welcome, and no hospitality, whatever. Is this the way? Second day. By third day, he said, no, I think I need this Islah. This Islah I need. Because I'm newly graduated. I'm graduated. I specialized in this, whatever else. Specialized. Now all that has bloated my mind, gone to my mind that I'm this. I was recognized. So I had to be cut down to size. So in these 3 days, this is what they were aiming at. So then I went, said that you can do me anything now. Now you can ask me to stay on the station platform for the rest of the life. I'm prepared to do it. So now you come in now. Up to Yazain al-Abidin ban gaya. Now he's made. Now then you see that the man has been accepted right around the world, you see. So this came, it came with a little bit of sacrifice. That was, even in the Jamaat circles, they smash you down. It break you down. So once you've broken down, as though you become pliant, you know, you became pliant like wax. So they can give you the mold that they want. Whatever type of mold they want to give, they can give you that mold. And then you can progress. But now you become hard. They want to give you a mold of a wali now. They can't give it to you because you become so hard. You become like a dried candle now. Can you give it a mold? You can't give it a mold. Finish is dried. It's hardened. You can't give it a mold. So this is what they aim at. If you got this, then it is easy to work with you. And you can move. The possibility, the ihtimal of progress is still there. These are the waqiyat of Abu Zughanuddin. The Shaykh Muhammad Lali, when he was about 17, 18 years of age, so his father told him, there's a proposal for you. Proposal can work both sides, from the girl's side and the boy's side. Although it generally happens from the boy's side, But if it comes from the girl's side also, it's alright. Inni uridu an unkihaka ihda ibnatayya. Shuaib al-Islam's sunnah was the other way, from the girl's side, the proposal is coming. Right. In our custom, has become such, okay, we have got a lot of that Hindu type of culture within us. So whatever is from Hinduism, we just go on that. We don't realize a lot of things is from that culture. So that Sheikh Rahmatullah, he's about 17, 18 years, he's like Mulana, and everybody recognizes him, you know, because he's from that young age, he was excelling in everything. So the proposal came for him. And from an ultra wealthy family, very, very wealthy family. Because they saw this man is promising. There's got a lot of expectations in him. So they wanted that whole piety within their family. So they sent that proposal that we get this piety in our family. These people in the past, this is how they looked at it, that we got few pious people, great pious people. You know, they've got the colors of this Buzurgana Deen. We got them in our families. Then inshallah our family will have a direction. We'll be able to speak to them, their behavior, their mannerisms will affect the others. This is how they looked at it. So they try to somehow salvage that piety within their families. So the father suggested to her, okay, this is what has happened. What's your suggestion? What do you feel about the whole thing? So the Shaykh Hamza's reply was, in the old days now, when you marry to a wealthy girl, very wealthy girl, so the style is, the wife will be sitting on the charpai. Charpai is like a bed, whatever, right? A little bit of a raised platform, she'll be sitting there. And the husband will have the pan dabba. You know pan dabba? What they call it? Bitter leaf. Huh? Huh? Bitter leaf, yeah. Bitter leaf, pan, put that supari and all that. So the husband will keep the pan dabba, and he'll make the pan, and every now and say, "Abnosh formayenge begum sahab." So that's the style. That's the Nawab style now. You know, you have to keep up to the Joneses, you see. So every now and then she must do this. Take the pan, make it for her, and pamper. You know, would you have one pan? Have one more, please. So you have to pamper the wife like that. So he says, "Hey, Abba, you know what? I don't have time to do all this. Give the pan and I'm not cut out for that, to make the pan and all that and offer her like that. I'm not cut out for all that." Now, Sheikh's father made his islah. On that also, his father made the islah. And he said, "You see, when I was your age, then I also had similar proposals like you have a proposal now. I also had proposals. But my answer was, you know, now I'm living a simple life and I sit on the chatai, you know, straw mat. So I sit on the chatai. Now if I get married to the type of a Nawab style, I have to sit on a Persian rug, Nawab style, very wealthy class. I won't be honored in sitting on a straw mat on a chatai." And father asked the son, "Now show me that in whose statement there is tawazu, in my statement or your statement? Your statement is smacking of pride. And my statement, see my statement, what's my statement?" My father also asked me the same thing. Like I'm asking you, my father also asked me the same thing. But this was the answer. And this is your answer. Brother Sheikh was about 21 or 22 years of age. And he's Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah was in Raipur, great Buzurg, Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri. His father's great friend and a senior, everybody taking his duas, etc. So Sheikh wrote a letter to Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah, telling him some things, and dua, etc., whatever else. So his father got to know about it. My son had wrote a letter and sent it to Hazrat Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah. Now Sheikh's father corrects him. He says, Abhi tak to Baba zinda hai. Abhi se tu ne istiqlal ka jhanda buland kar diya. Baba to zinda tha. Pooch karke, dikha karke bhejte the. Says, your father is still alive, he's still around. From now, you have hoisted the flag of independence. I could do my own thing. I could write a letter, send to this person, get a reply. See? Now, from now, you hoisted the flag of independence. See? See, now he's 20 and he's already a buzrug. He's a great person, already recognized, acknowledged, everybody respects him. But the father still wants him to be humbling himself. That when you got your father around, then whatever you are doing, then let it go through your father. Don't do it independently. Don't feel independent of your senior. Your senior is still around, and you do it, things, whatever you need to do, you can ask, you can find out, but do it through your father. Now, there's a lot of wisdom in what they're talking about. There's a lot of wisdom. There's tons of wisdom. You see, the more of the mistakes take place when a person is independent in his ways. He doesn't go through his elders. If he goes through his elders, then 99% of the mistakes won't be there. There won't be 99% of the mistakes. And these people used to be take the elders' words very firmly. Hazrat Muhammad Alam Sahib's elder son was Mawlana Aftab Sahib. So, Mawlana Aftab Sahib, I think once he came a little bit with a delay. Instead of coming at Asar time, he came after Maghrib. Came with a little bit of delay. So all Mawlana Alam Sahib Rahmatullah told him, Sharif Khandan wale itni der se nahi pahunchte. Asar ke baad foran pahunch jate makan ko. So people come from a respectable family and they come straight home after Asar. They don't delay in coming back home. They say until Mawlana Alam Sahib Rahmatullah was alive, he never delayed in coming after Asar straight home. Just the father's one statement, Achche Khandan wale, wo taakhir nahi karte aane mein, wo foran Asar ke baad pahunch jate hain. That's all the father had to say. And then from that day till the father passed away, he never delayed. Now you could have said, no, you know, I was sitting in the Haram Sharif and we were discussing hadith. Is that more important or sitting by you coming there, by you making you feel like a big lord? That's the temperament we have today. The temperament today. Anybody speaks to us later than he say what he thinks of himself. He's think too much of himself. So these people, they had a reason for this. They cut you down, they smashed you down, they brought you down. Really, that was for your own elevation. And today we don't see that. One of the main reasons, as I say, is this, that our people are not progressing. And the second reason that they don't progress is, they don't have the required amount of confidence in the elder. They don't have the required amount. See, in this whole field here, a great amount of i'tiqad and muhabbat is required. What is the level of your aqidat, of your confidence and your muhabbat for your senior? Proportionately you move. If that confidence, that faith and the faith, the loyalty and the love is there, then you move very quickly. Otherwise what's going to happen? You're going to be always comparing statements, comparing, all right, what's happening here, what's happening here, what's happening here, what's happening there. Why he said this and why he said this. So you're not progressing. But the moment you've got that faith, that loyalty and that love, then you're not looking right and left. He said this, I must do it. He said it, I must do it. It's like, you know, you went for 7 months Jamaat and before that you had a problem with your wife, you know, and she was not talking with you and you were trying to get her, you know, you were trying to get her and whatever else. So someone made out that the wife, she likes this type of flowers, you know. She likes that roses, this type, black color or red color, whatever. So they made out and they told you, you know, you need to get back to your wife. We'll organize it. But what you do, just tell the florist to send this type of a flower to the house and we'll sort it out. So if someone has the faith and the love for the wife, what they'll do? He'll ask, but why? You know these flowers you're sending, right? I'll buy that for 200 rands and send it with the florist at 100 rand for delivery, right? 300 rand. 2 days time, they will fade away. No smell, no fragrance. Why must I make magaj mari for that? You will speak like that. Well, then be truthful. You will speak to them. Oh, hey, come what may, you know, without I can't live. I can't live. I can't sleep. The whole house is biting me. Without an old chacha told me this. The whole house is biting me. He's 75 years old chacha. His wife had gone for whatever else, for wedding or something. She was gone for 1 week. So I told him, the chacha is late now. So I asked him, chacha, how are you feeling? He said, I can't sleep. Whole night the thing, the whole house is biting me. So you won't ask these questions. You'll just straight away you'll do it. Whatever. But it must just be sorted out. So the loyalty and the love is only that side. Nowhere else. So this is the two things that's keeping our crowd backwards. In my analysis, Allah knows best. But when I see it in retrospect, then what's the reasons that we're not progressing? These two things. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.